You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. The Food and Drug Administration last week issued warnings for over two dozen brands of over-the-counter eye drops after finding unsanitary manufacturing conditions leading to risks of infection and vision loss. A similar problem happened earlier this year when several other eye drop brands were recalled after contamination concerns and at least five cases of permanent vision loss and one death. There have been over 14,000 drug recalls in the last 10 years. That number includes prescriptions as well as these over-the-counter medications. Drug recalls happen not just because of contamination, but for a variety of other potential causes. Our next guest says that's just one concern when it comes to over-the-counter medication. She says we also need to think about drug interactions when we get medicine off the shelf. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Did you have to throw out a bottle of eye drops after this recall? Have you been affected by drug recalls in the past? Do you have questions about safety when it comes to over-the-counter drugs, both in terms of the quality assurance process, but also what we take them with, the impacts they can have on us? You could join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. Michelle Chewy is professor and chair of social and administrative sciences, director of the Sonderegger Research Center for Improved Medication Outcomes, and head of the Chewy Systems Approach to Medication Safety Lab at the UW-Madison School of Pharmacy. Michelle, thanks a lot for joining us today.
I'm really happy to be here today.
Let's start with these drug recalls, whether it's prescription or over-the-counter medication. When we see a recall, should we feel like, oh no, the system failed, or oh no, or oh great, the system worked and caught a problem, or maybe a little bit of both?
Yeah, thanks for asking that question. You know, recalls are kind of a scary thing. You know, we expect our drugs to be safe, and we expect that when we get them at the prescription or an OTC product at the pharmacy, that they'll be safe for us to use and that we can take them as directed by our doctor or by our pharmacist. So I can see how a recall could be kind of a scary thing. But the recall process is actually a great regulatory process that the FDA has in place. The purpose of the recall is to identify very quickly when there might be a problem with a medication, whether it's contamination or some other issue, as you had previously stated. And it's an opportunity to broadcast out to healthcare professionals and patients and caregivers that there might be something wrong, and to seek out more information so that you can determine whether or not that product is safe for you or not. So it's a great opportunity to identify the potential for harm before harm takes place.
So with these eye drop recalls, for example, can you talk through the process? What triggers the FDA to look more closely at these products and then to go to the step of issuing this recall?
Yeah, so the FDA has very stringent guidelines for manufacturer of medications. They have quite a list of policies and procedures associated with maintenance of the facilities. They spot check the medications in the batches that they are manufacturing. And if there ends up looking like there could be a problem, then they will call out to the other manufacturers to ensure that there's no other problem in place. And in this case, most recently, there was bacteria contamination in the eye drop. That's a scary thing because you're putting this, you know, the liquid into your eye and you don't want your eye to be infected. And so an opportunity existed where they called out to the other manufacturers of eye products, and those products were also tested. And as a result, it was identified that we needed to recall these products. And that's how the consumers found out about it and were able to take them off the shelf, talk to their physicians and their pharmacists to identify whether or not those products should be trashed, and then purchasing new products again. So it's a good way to get more information and to ensure that the products that you are taking continue to be safe.
Now, there's a global supply chain for many products. Over-the-counter medications is part of that. A lot of our drugs come from, say, Mexico, India, China. Does that make it complicated to track manufacturing, given that it's not just within our borders here?
Yeah, so that's a great question. So when products are sold in the United States, regardless of where they are manufactured, they have to follow the U.S. manufacturer guidelines. So any product that is sold in the United States, if it's a prescription product or an OTC product that is sold in the United States, must adhere to the manufacturer guidelines that the FDA prescribes. So there should be no difference in the manufacturing and the safe practices, whether the product is manufactured in China, Europe, or in the United States.
Now, if a consumer hears something about a recall, they might wonder, well, wait, how do I make sure that I don't have the recalled product in my medicine cabinet? I'm looking at the FDA's drug recall page. Is that the best way for people to find out, or how do consumers know if their product is covered by a recall?
Yeah, great question. So the easiest way to identify whether or not a product is recalled is to call your pharmacist. Your pharmacist should be your one-stop shop to give you the type of information that you need for both prescriptions or OTCs. All of the products have a lot number on them, and that is the number that you would identify to determine whether or not your specific product is recalled. But that's, you know, there's numbers and letters. It's kind of complicated to sort through when you go to the FDA website. So the easiest place to go to would be to just check in with your pharmacist. You can send them a picture or take your product into the pharmacy, and they would be very happy to help you determine whether or not that product is recalled, and then help you identify a new product if you need to purchase a different product.
We are talking about over-the-counter medications and safety, both when it comes to recalls, as the FDA recalled some eye drops. And we're also now going to get into drug interactions we should watch for. You could join in at 800-642-1234 with your questions, your experiences maybe with a recall or with taking an OTC, over-the-counter product that turned out to have bad effects because of something else you were taking. Michelle Chui stays with us from the UW-Madison School of Pharmacy. Michelle, I know you do a lot of work on over-the-counter medications and how they interact with other drugs, especially for seniors. I think a lot of us in the United States take over-the-counter medications, not quite like they were candy, but pretty darn close. What kind of things should we watch for to make sure that that medication we're buying off the shelf doesn't have consequences, doesn't interact with other stuff we take?
Yeah, so great question, Rob. I just wanted to say again that, you know, over-the-counter medications are indeed medications. Too much is not good. And particularly for older adults who take a lot of prescription medication, there are over-the-counter medications that can interact with them. Even the use of over-the-counter medications, if you take them too often, for too long, or too many at a time, can also pose a risk. Some of the over-the-counter medications that you can take can make you at risk of drowsiness, confusion, falling. And we don't want any of our older adults to be at risk of falling because we all want them to be able to live in their homes, happy in their homes, and we want to prevent emergency department visits, hospitalizations, and nursing home admissions. So older adults represent 13% of the U.S. population, but they account for 62% of adverse drug events associated with emergency department visits. So this is an important topic. We want to make sure that older adults in particular are safe with the over-the-counter medications that they take.
Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Nancy is with us in Milwaukee. Nancy, hi.
Hello. I am calling about the usage of a drug called diphenhydramine. For many years, I've been taking that to go to sleep at night, although I believe that it is most usually sold for people who have allergies. And what I'm thinking is that because it's sold to dry up your sinuses for allergy sufferers, I am wondering if there's a possibility that this is also drying up hair follicles, causing hair loss, drying up cilia in your cochlea, causing deafness, and also drying up vocal cords, which is the reason I think that I sound the way I do. So how detrimental to your health is the taking of diphenhydramine? The dosage on the bottle says take two, and I usually take a half of one.
Nancy, thanks for the call. I want to get into a bigger issue on diphenhydramine with you in a minute, Michelle. But first of all, Nancy's specific question about dryness resulting from diphenhydramine, brand name Benadryl, often found in your PM sleep type products as well.
Yeah, great question, Nancy. You are so right. Diphenhydramine, brand name Benadryl, is typically used for allergy meds to dry you up when you have a runny nose. It's also in a lot of cough and cold products. Actually, diphenhydramine is in a lot of over-the-counter products, both pain products, cough cold products, and sleep products. So it does do a good job of drying out your runny nose. It also is prone to drowsiness. I will say that there is no evidence for drying of those other issues that you had. And I think that Rob is going to talk about diphenhydramine some more. So I'll just stop there.
Nancy, thanks for the call. Yeah, and Michelle, this is a bit of a coincidence. My folks just did an online lecture from University of Michigan. Their sleep people raised very serious concerns for seniors using diphenhydramine as a sleep aid, as you were mentioning earlier, in part because of risks of falls and drowsiness. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Absolutely. So diphenhydramine is a product that has something called an anticholinergic effect. And that's a big word, but what that means is that drugs that have an anticholinergic effect can be at risk of causing you to be drowsy. It could cause you to be confused in older adults, and it could mask other symptoms that could look like dementia, but really are not dementia. So for older adults, it's very, very clear. And there's a lot of evidence that diphenhydramine should not be used in older adults. Many adults use them when they're younger and they continue using them as they get older. But pretty much after you turn 65 or so, when your body starts to change, you're taking a lot more prescription medications that also could have anticholinergic effects. It's a clear recommendation that older adults should no longer be taking diphenhydramine.
Nancy, thanks again for that call. I don't know your age. I'm not a doctor, but maybe look into other sleep options, it sounds like. Michelle Chui is a professor and chair of social and administrative sciences, head of the Chui Systems Approach to Medication Safety Lab at the UW-Madison School of Pharmacy. We're talking about over-the-counter medication safety, both with some recalls in the news, in this case of eye drops, and wider issues of possible drug interactions for everybody, especially for seniors when we take these OTC medications. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have questions about a drug recalls? Have you had to search that medication shelf to see if one of your medications was covered? Do you have questions or thoughts or maybe experiences with drug interactions for those products you buy off the pharmacy shelf? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. We continue our talk with Michelle Chui, professor and chair of social and administrative sciences at the UW-Madison School of Pharmacy. We're talking about over-the-counter drug safety, both when recalls happen, as is going on right now with some brands of eye drops, and drug interactions, especially for seniors. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Have you ever talked to a doctor about whether you can take an over-the-counter medication and possible interactions with a prescription medication? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Michelle, let's put ourselves in the position of maybe a senior, an older person who's taking 1, 2, 3 prescription medications, wondering if they can take this pain reliever, that sleep aid, that allergy medication, whatever, that they can buy off the shelf. What do you recommend they do? What kind of conversations should they have with healthcare providers to see how that's going to fit in with those other medications?
Great. So the first thing I would recommend is that older adults in particular carry a list of their prescription and OTC medications with them. You could laminate a little card for your wallet or put a little piece of paper in your purse so that anytime there's a question from a provider or a pharmacist, you can just whip that piece of paper out and go through the list of medications with them. It's really hard to remember all of the medications that you're on. Sometimes the names are very complicated, difficult to pronounce. So it's always great to have a current list of your medications with you. The second thing I would do is anytime you're not sure about taking an over-the-counter medication for pain, or maybe, you know, it's cough and cold season right now, so you need to get something for a stuffy nose or a runny nose or a cough, the best idea would be for you to go and talk to a pharmacist in a community pharmacy. The community pharmacist is the drug expert, and they are available all of their open hours to help you. Now, right now, I know pharmacists tend to be really busy, but you should ask questions, and you should demand to get some help related to your medications, because, you know, taking a new medication, even an OTC medication, is serious business. We don't want you to be harmed. We don't want you to have a side effect. And the best way to identify that is to talk to a pharmacist about it and ensure that the medication that they select for you doesn't interact with any of the drugs that you're already taking or any of the disease states that you might have.
And we've been talking about prescription medications and over-the-counter medications. Let's throw in another category, supplements, which covers a lot of ground. People might not even think of them as potentially interacting with medications. Is that a concern, though?
Absolutely. Supplements are definitely a concern. There's a possibility of overdosing on things like vitamins as well. Just because something is good for you doesn't mean that two times, three times, five times of those things is even better for you. So everything in moderation, follow the directions, or again, most importantly, talk to your healthcare professional. And of course, the pharmacist is the most accessible person for you.
Dr. Michelle Chui, professor and chair of social and administrative sciences, head of the Chui Systems Approach to Medication Safety Lab at the UW-Madison School of Pharmacy. You can join in with your questions about over-the-counter medications and safety when it comes to recalls, if you've experienced something like that, or if you've done that, made that checklist of medications and had a talk with a doctor or pharmacist about possible interactions, or if you are that doctor or pharmacist, love to hear your perspective as well at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Let's bring on Laura now in Ashland. Laura, hi.
Hi.
What did you want to bring up?
I just turned 62, and you were talking about Benadryl and how that's not necessarily good for older people, and I know you said 65, to take as a sleep aid. And I was just wondering, I've tried things like melatonin and tryptophan, and nothing seems to help. So what does she recommend?
Laura, thanks for the call. Now, Michelle, I don't know if you want to recommend particular sleep aids to our caller, but what kind of things should we think about as we explore the sleep aid market to find something that is right for us?
Yeah, Laura, that is a really great question. I mean, there's a lot of older adults that suffer from sleep problems and insomnia. So your problem is not unique to you. Many, many older adults have a similar problem. So the first thing I would do, Laura, is to talk to both your either your physician or your pharmacist to make sure that none of the prescription products that you're taking could be the culprit here. It could be that you're taking a medication that is keeping you up, making you want to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night. And so that's, you know, waking you up and not letting you go back to sleep. There's a lot of prescription medications as well that could be contributing to this problem. So let's make sure that there's nothing else that's causing this problem before you medicate for something that could be a different thing that we could address on the prescription or medical side. The second thing that I would tell you is that there are a lot of non-drug options that you could also try, and I'll just list a few off for you. The first thing, of course, is good sleep hygiene includes things like not exercising late at night, not drinking alcohol late at night, not watching TV in bed, not smoking late in the evening, making sure that you're not eating late at night or drinking caffeinated beverages. So I'll start there. I agree with you that sometimes melatonin is not enough. There are some prescription sleep aids that you can be prescribed as well. And that would be worth a conversation with your doctor about that.
Thanks a lot for that call, Laura, at 800-642-1234. Now, we've been focusing on the over-the-counter drugs. Michelle, are there prescription medications where people should be particularly careful when they head over to the over-the-counter aisle? Like, if you're taking certain categories of prescriptions, we need to really watch out for possible interactions with the over-the-counter stuff that we might not think about.
Yeah, you know, honestly, there are so many different classes of medications that, you know, I don't want to necessarily say these are all of them and none of the others, mm-hmm. but definitely older adults in particular who have typical older adult disease, chronic diseases like hypertension or blood pressure, glaucoma, some men with prostate issues are a primary issue. As I said with Laura, insomnia tends to be a big problem as well. So those are kind of the areas that should sort of be a red flag for you that you should engage in a conversation with your doctor or your pharmacist to just ensure that either your disease state or your prescriptions that you're taking to address those disease states are not in interaction with the OTCs that might also be solving other problems for you.
One thing that I'm really curious about, Michelle, is, you know, it's not that hard to go online and look for a drug interaction between two things, over the counter or prescription. How much more complicated does it get as we get up to three or four or more medications that someone might be taking at the same time?
very, very complicated. You know, some of the older adults that we've worked with in our studies are taking 8, 10, 12 prescription medications. And so there's a lot of different ways in which that a medication could cause harm to you. We've looked at over-the-counter medication misuse in a lot of different ways. So the first way that we've looked at that is when older adults are not taking medications that are consistent with the label. Maybe the label might say, take one pill every 6 hours. And we've had older adults tell us, well, you know, does it really need to be 6 hours? I could take it every 4 hours. I could take two every 4 hours. I could take three every 4 hours because they don't recognize the potential for harm. We talked a little bit about drug-drug interactions. We also, there are some products that are also contraindicated in specific disease states. And then lastly, there are some medications like diphenhydramine that are actually contraindicated in older adults. And there are a couple of others as well. So again, lots and lots of complexity there, which is why even though there's an expectation that, you know, consumers can purchase and select OTCs on their own, and particularly for an older adult, it's always good habit to just check with the pharmacist to confirm.
Michelle, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Michelle Chewy is professor and chair of social and administrative sciences and head of the Chewy Systems Approach to Medication Safety Lab at the UW-Madison School of Pharmacy. She talked to us about over-the-counter drug safety in terms of both quality and recalls and possible interactions between over-the-counter medications and other conditions and medications.